I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I like the buttery biscuit base, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Arsenal were brilliant and the FA Cup is back. It's Friday, 16th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Rainham Steel Campbell.
It's a huge day in the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you with us.
Bit of Rainham Steel in the studio.
Yeah. Huh? So that base knowledge you've got, Jim.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. It's as incongruous to us, the people that grew up in the town, as it is to those watching football.
Would you like to buy some steel? I don't understand the question.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big day. It's a big day for one Luke Moore, because after 5 years in charge of the England under-21s, AD Boothroyd is off.
Yeah, and it's a very much needed positive. Let's be reasonable. A man has lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
Right, now we've got that out of the way.
Yep.
It was difficult because there was a chance, it still is a very strong chance, Portsmouth are not going to be promoted this season. There is a reasonable chance Southampton are going to win the FA Cup, which, can I just make absolutely clear, would be horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a tiny chance, which, if it happens, because the chance is so tiny, would make it even worse that Big Sam's West Brom get out of relegation trouble. If all those three things happen, you think, God, I'm staring down the barrel of an absolute nightmare season here.
Yeah, you've actually missed...
And then Boothroyd loses his job.
Well, you've got... Yeah, but you've got... That might not actually go in your favour, because Southampton win the FA Cup, Portsmouth don't get promoted, and the board at Portsmouth thinking, we've got to respond somehow.
Mm, yeah. Get a big name in.
Let's get Boothroyd in.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just hard to imagine. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know.
Actually, it's Portsmouth.
And it's Portsmouth and it's football.
Portsmouth, everyone thinks that managers lose their jobs too fast these days. Portsmouth fans know it's the opposite for them. They just will not sack someone.
Yeah.
They will not sack.
Who's the new man in?
It's Danny Cowley.
That's right. Of course it is. Yeah, they're not going anywhere for a while.
If Southampton stopped Man City doing a quadruple, there's no way I'm asking you if that makes it good. Mm. I'm saying, does that make it worse for you if they also stop this historic thing? So it's like a really significant FA Cup win.
Maybe I can answer it a different way. I would happily take Manchester City winning every trophy they enter for the next 10 years if Southampton don't win anything.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but Southampton, the chances are they're not going to win anything.
Yeah.
I can't take that chance.
Yeah. I know the exact feeling.
Yeah.
Come on, Man City. Do everyone around this table a solid.
You don't care how they got their money, how it was all built.
Not when it comes to the Carabao.
Leicester are in their way for the FA Cup.
Is the Carabao not sacred to you? My goodness. Well, perhaps the Europa League is, Jim.
Yes.
And what a win for Arsenal.
What a fantastic win.
Blooming heck, Jim.
I enjoyed it so much.
Where did that come from?
Smash them to bits.
Yeah, it was all over after about 20 minutes.
Yeah, just and also
it's annoying because I had to watch the rest of it. Yeah. Show today.
And I mean, they had a goal disallowed early on. We're like, well, we just put another one in then.
Yeah,
you are not.
Which is like so unlike Arsenal.
I know.
Arsenal's brand. Yeah. Is very. I don't know where I am with this because
no,
Jim,
I
don't want to speak
worried.
On behalf of you, but I'm sure you know as well as I do, much better than me, that if Arsenal have an early goal disallowed. Sometimes it's for the wrong reasons. Like it should have stood.
Yep. Mm.
Then they let that massively affect them, certainly for the rest of the game, almost certainly for the rest of the month, and sometimes the rest of the season.
Yeah.
How on earth are they bouncing straight back?
I mean, that exact thing is a big contributor to one of the lines on my forehead. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
How many have you got in total?
I mean, your best place to say three.
Just one.
Is it?
Just one.
I don't know. I feel like, you know. I look like I've seen three terrible things, effectively, in my life.
Want to see a fall?
I know. I was about to say, I know what the other two are.
Oh, no. But yeah, they were fantastic. And they were clearly riled up before the game and fired up before the game for reasons that away from the pitch. It's worth remembering Glenn Kamara came through Arsenal's academy. I'm sure that won't have been lost on the team. Apparently, Alex Lacazette and it's rumoured Granit Xhaka as well were firing the team up. They wanted to take the knee.
Yep.
Slavia's response to that, being lined up was absurd for me. I presume what they're doing there is standing by their players' protestation of innocence, but you can take the knee as well. They're not an exclusive thing.
Yeah, I'm not
saying something by doing what they did, even if you claim you're saying something different.
Yeah,
and I mean, even if you don't mean to say what you are saying something.
Yeah, you are. I mean, I think some people might have seen that and go, well, hang on, you don't know. And teams don't line up like that.
No.
We see the taking
of
the knee.
You stand in there.
Yeah, exactly. You stand in your positions or you take the knee. But even when people have been taking the knee this season, it is usually in their formations, if you see what I mean. You know, but to stand together like that, that is a message.
Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult for me because I like to know what formation they're playing.
Well, maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it confused me.
Maybe it was like the Hungarian side of the 50s, right? You wear a number 6 and they'll think you're a centre-back, but you're actually playing up front.
I mean, and that
bamboozle
is,
them.
Even then, that is an astonishingly poor way of a team working out the other team.
Yeah,
England was supposed to be the best team in the world at that point.
Yeah. Wow.
How are you working out what position they're playing? I'm just going to look at their number and I'm not going
to
check.
Well, I'm not going to mark him because he's going to head back to the fence in a minute.
If he scores, it's not my fault because of his number.
Was that? I mean, that's maybe what Slavia Prague were thinking. Ah, they'll never know what formation we're playing. Yeah. And Arteta's going, don't worry, lads, we've done a lot of research.
Just smash them to bits.
And this is another reason why we are extremely motivated to beat you.
Absolutely. And Arsenal showed their quality, and that is something that they haven't done enough this season. You know, the slick passing was there, the nimble footwork was there, and just there's a lot of cohesion, and they were playing for each other as well. Like they were so full blooded and just into everything, and there was an aggression about them that they lacked far too much.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that can be the form that they take into the rest of the season, because this keeps the season alive.
Yeah,
you know they're you know mid table in the Premier League. There's nothing about their league form to suggest that is a false position.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way into Europe is through the Europa League. So they need to just keep that in mind and just use it as fuel, basically.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly, though, Jim, I mean, if they win the Europa League, they get bloody Champions League football.
Well,
next
it's
season.
All or nothing. It's Champions League, or it's the first season without European football for something like since like 1996. Mm. So it's a huge, huge thing, and there's a lot standing in the way as well. Arsenal's form has been very, very patchy. There's Unai Emery up next, who we know is like the Europa League specialist, basically in history. And obviously, there's a bit of spice there. I think he might want some revenge on Arsenal for how things ended. Arsenal might want some revenge on him for the boring football that we sat through. So there's a long, long way to go. And also, you know, people are looking ahead to a potential final with Man United. Who knows what's going to happen before then? And you don't want that. You don't want another English club in a final. It's the pressure is something which gets to Arsenal.
Yeah.
So you don't know. Although, you know, that said,
you've been scarred by that Chelsea.
Cup,
you've been scarred by that Chelsea experience, though, in the Europa League.
Indeed, and maybe there is no need to be. But yeah, it's exciting. It's really nice actually to just have some skin in the game at this stage of the season. I mean, before the game, when you know the announcement is that your captain's got malaria, you do fear the worst.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's having a time of it, Aubameyang. I think this is, you know, a lot of people have been talking about his form this season, but this has gone, you know, not really even spoken about that much. He's clearly, you know, he's had quite a few personal issues to deal with as well. Mm-hmm. And this is a further bit of bad luck. I think he's just in one of those luck ruts.
Yeah, but look, when you've got Lacazette to step up like that.
I was actually going to say, shout out to Xhaka for playing left back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lacazette's got a good he's had a good reputation this season, hasn't he? For I think I've probably been a bit overly critical of him this season.
No, he's been patchy.
Yeah, but he's apparently been really great with the young players and been a really good team mm-hmm. player and all the mm-hmm. rest of it. I've kind of criticised him as part of a group of senior pros who mm-hmm. I don't think have done enough for Arsenal this season. But last night he absolutely stepped up and he looked great. And when he's good, he's obviously fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's going into the last year of his contract, though, isn't he? So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that.
Well, they just usually, that sorts itself out with Arsenal, doesn't it?
They definitely won't get themselves into a situation where they are terrified that he's going to go somewhere else and end up paying him loads of money.
I think this might be his last season here.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Absolutely. The senior players stepped up and they haven't been doing that. There's a guy on Twitter called Goonadub who a little while ago, I noted this thing because it made me laugh, just said, "I am just fed up of these senior clowns disrespecting the canon." Yeah. Sometimes that's been the case, but they were all absolutely fantastic.
As were the younger players.
Yeah.
I mean, Saka and Smith Rowe, we've enjoyed them immensely this season.
You forget the young players almost.
Yeah.
They're so integral to the team now.
Uh-huh.
And Martinelli coming on, nearly scoring as well. He got his first goal in ages after coming back from a big injury.
Nice little kind of problem for Arsenal to solve. It's a nice problem to have, is that, you know, you play Smith Rowe in the hole last night, and we talked about
him and
Odegaard and stuff. I wonder what they'll do next season, because he's obviously got a load of minutes under his belt now. He seems like a really exciting young player. He's clearly good enough, but they want to go after Odegaard and make it permanent. If they don't, they want to get another number 10, we're told. I mean, Ornstein was talking about that this morning on the TV, saying that they are looking for a number 10. And you can't doubt the wisdom of Orny.
No.
They're clearly after someone, but I don't know what that means for Smith Rowe. So it was a bit of a decision to make.
Well, I think Smith Rowe has had quite a lot of injuries already, and he is obviously a young player that needs to... you know, you've got to be careful with their minutes. I think I am a bit worried about how much Saka's being played, to be honest, as well. I think everyone is, but it's just out of necessity because he's been so good. Also, Smith Rowe does have the versatility to play in different positions, as Odegaard does. And I think part of the thinking of getting Odegaard in was to lift the burden on Smith Rowe a little bit. So I think that has to be taken into account for any permanent signing as well. I mean, clearly he is the future of Arsenal. So they're not going to... Unless they're absolute idiots, which sometimes they are... they're not likely to sort of jeopardise his future.
Is he the most treasured cannonball of the cannon?
Maybe.
I think Saka might be, but they're
second best cannonball.
Yeah, him, those two and Martinelli are the big ones.
There's beautiful, exciting young cannonballs, and the cannon is being lit by clowns.
Senior clowns.
Yeah.
When you say cannonball, all I can think of is Cannonball! Cannonball Run. You say that he likes playing in the hole. Well, Slavia Prague had a centre-back called Thomas Holes.
He enjoyed his night, didn't he?
It's a perfect position for a centre-back.
Yeah.
Perfect name for a centre-back. Holes.
Find the holes.
Yeah.
Well, he's there.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. Callum Chambers, Jim.
Yeah.
What's he up to? He's thinking, hang on a minute. There's the right back position for the England side is up for grabs. Yeah. I fancy a bit of this.
I mean, it's
bloody hell. Yeah, one thing we haven't got enough of.
We could genuinely have
Callum,
a team.
Another one.
Could have a team of them. Could genuinely have a team of them.
Yeah,
because you put Kyle Walker in goal, obviously, because he's got experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chambers is just another one to that pile of England right backs. Let's do it, Gareth.
Mentioning Danny Sabars, he was rallying the troops on Twitter yesterday, of course.
Mm.
Tomorrow we're going for all, like Sir Winston Churchill once said. Blood, toil, tears and sweat. Let's go, Gunners.
I mean, I think Winston Churchill actually said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears and sweat."
Yeah.
It doesn't really transfer over to a footballer.
No.
You need to have ability. It's a very specific skill.
It's been an odd week for social media. Phil Foden's, I think he sacked his social media people.
He wasn't happy with the Mbappe shout out, was he?
No, exactly.
Yeah, they went straight over to Dulux, so it was fine.
Yeah, they got a new job straight away. They got hooked up straight away. I know you guys talked about it yesterday, but I mean, that was baffling.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
A part of me suspects that we haven't seen the last of this, that maybe it is a long game being played, because Spurs' response has been really funny as well.
Yeah, Jim's take is that it's actually all a big work.
Mm.
But it's because you watch too much wrestling, probably.
I haven't watched wrestling in a long time.
You used to love a bit of wrestling, though.
Sure did. But Pete suspects this as well, but the same is also true of him.
Yeah.
So Danny Ceballos, though, is a really odd character. He did play like a man possessed last night, and he doesn't do it often enough, really. But there are games where he's like the captain of a pirate ship that is just boarding you. And he played like that last night.
I know he's got that in his locker, but that's the thing.
I was certainly bored.
Well, it's kind of like encouraging when you see Arsenal and particular players play like this, but then it's also a bit like, a bit more of that.
Exactly. Yeah, and Marcus, it's about the environment, right? Mm. You couldn't argue really realistically, I don't think, that Arsenal have players that are any less in terms of ability than a lot of other top teams. They might not be the very best team, but they're definitely up there.
Yeah.
It's about the environment's correct around them, in my opinion. Yeah. And are they being, you know, it's like as the legendary John Sitton said, you know, the best players want to be the best all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know how profound that is? Have you examined the words?
It's not the quote I thought you were going to say of his.
What, bring your dinner, you thought I was going to say? Yeah. That's the one everyone remembers, but that's the other one.
What was the tweet you sent out?
I don't know.
That your friend of mine replied, it's too intense. It's...
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what he said.
He said that a lot as well on the thing. I'm too intense. You're too intense. It's... I once saw him at an event, John Sitton, late on.
Who did he manage, John Sitton?
Leighton Orient.
Was it just Orient?
If you're unfamiliar with this, then a YouTube search, it's not hard to find what we're talking about.
If you're not familiar with this, I mean, my God, it must be. I once saw him turn up to a formal event wearing Crocs.
Yeah.
Carry on.
There we go.
Yeah.
And anybody who questioned that got the beaten out of them. Yeah. Manchester United, they're through to another semi-final. It's the Europa League semi-final this time.
Good for the egos.
Yes, fifth semi-final in 2 years under Solskjaer after their 2-0 win against Granada. Cavani got the goal to really sort of calm any nerves and whatnot. We expect that of the big man, and a lovely finish it was, Jim.
Yeah, when I picture Cavani, he's in mid-air. Just all the time.
Celebrating or getting on the end of something.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He's a beautiful footballer.
He's our 50th goal in European football as well.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Absolute thoroughbred, isn't he, Cavani?
Yeah, that's exactly the word. He's just brilliant. And it was a canny signing for Man United. And, you know, you've got to be pleased with him and him that it's working out. And there's a lot of talk that he wants to go back to Uruguay. And I imagine in terms of settling into a new country, the scenario we find ourselves in is the absolute worst case scenario. So it must be quite hard. But, you know, I hope for their sake and the sake of the Premier League that he stays.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was...
Win a trophy with Man United and then off you go.
It's the
Louis Van Gaal routine. Yeah.
Lose the glorious Arsenal in the final. Because the cups are all about ego anyway, Marcus.
They've got to get past Roma.
They do.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said he is looking forward to playing Roma because it feels like a proper European tie.
What a dig at Granada that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of salt in the wound there.
It is, very much so, yeah. Edin Dzeko, though, the former Manchester City player.
A bit of spice.
There's a little bit of narrative there, and I've just explained it to everybody.
Yeah.
There were black covers on the seats at Old Trafford last night. This is because Solskjaer claimed on Wednesday that Manchester United have struggled at home because the red background has blended in with the team shirts. So when a player looks over his shoulder for a teammate, he can be lost.
I don't think you get enough stick for this.
Yeah. Oh, it goes back to the old Southampton loss, doesn't it?
It does, and it's more of the Alex Ferguson tribute act, isn't it?
Like,
what's next? You're going to pull out the League Cup, kick a plimsoll at someone?
It was like, the FA Cup.
Well, no, but this is what I mean. It's like a soft version of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, okay. Kick a plimsoll at someone.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Who would it be? Because obviously it was Beckham you were talking about.
Dan James, wasn't it?
Dan James. Yeah, great shout.
James, definitely. And I don't know why it's taken them 10 months apparently to change the seat covers.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he got enough stick for saying that. He comes up with some weird stuff, Solskjaer.
He really does.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's a strange... It's just ridiculous.
Well, this is the week after we had a massive row with Mourinho about feeding children.
I mean, what I don't get about that is just change the covers.
Yeah.
Don't worry to say it. He also said,
I promise you'll notice the difference. It's like, you can't keep that promise, Ollie. You cannot back that up. It's like when he said about Man City, oh, we're not going to let them have an easy ride. It's like, they're so far in front of you, that isn't up to you.
Yeah. They're out of range. Okay. Oh dear, we're not going to stop shooting. No, it doesn't matter. Miles away. My goodness. But they play Burnley on the weekend, Manchester United. Big game for Burnley, though. They're just a point ahead of Newcastle after Sunday's defeat. The good people at Opta have given Fulham just a 4.8% chance of survival.
I think it's fair. You're contractually obliged to call them boffins.
Am I?
Yeah.
The Opta boffins.
Yeah.
I think they're good people. Boffins is a bit derogatory, isn't it?
You reckon? It's kind of a very tabloidy word.
At school,
isn't it?
If someone's called at my school, a person was called a boffin if they tried to learn.
Yeah, same.
Go work for Raynham Steel. Yeah. But the Opta brains, I think, would be nicer.
Okay, fair enough.
The Opta. would be another option.
The good people at Opta.
If they rebrand themselves to Opta Boffins, I'll take out a subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is bloody expensive, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is. Have you seen that Amazon have announced a documentary series about Paul Pogba's life on and off the pitch called The Pogmentary?
I have seen this.
Yeah, well, I mean, was Pogumentary taken? Did someone do a documentary about Pogs in the past?
Maybe.
Pogmentary.
Yeah.
So I think it is being called The Pogumentary.
Right.
I think that's a misprint. I think it is going to be called The Pogumentary.
Yeah, this doesn't quite work for me. And you know I like this kind of crap and have contributed to unfunny business in this era, but I don't think that really works.
Well, yeah, because Pogumentary doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Pochumentary. Yeah.
Documentary is clearly something else.
That's going to work. That would work, definitely. my concern isn't, I mean,
it's not the name.
Apparently, it is called Pogmentary. Uh-huh. It should be called Pogumentary. It doesn't matter. What does
either
matter,
don't really work for me.
What does matter is that I can't really think of anything Paul Pogba is likely to do in his life that's going to be of interest outside of football.
Yeah.
Well, what about this, though? Because, you know, this kind of quote, Luke, might, you know, whet your appetite.
Okay,
for the,
go on, hit me with it.
For the Pogmentary. He spoke about the difference between Solskjaer and Mourinho's man management today. And he said, once I had a great relationship with Mourinho, then the next day, you don't know what happened. I cannot explain it to you because even I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Not really a revelation, is it?
No, I'm more excited in watching Jose Mourinho's interview about it than I am watching it.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely, that's true. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through the name. If we were suddenly called the Flipball Bamble, right, and we just never made any reference to it ever, I think we'd lose credibility, and rightly so.
Uh-huh.
We have lost credibility at various points.
Well, more credibility.
The Ram-mentary, would that be it?
Well, exactly. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Just sod off. Just sod off. Oh, by the way, here's a little wicked whisper. Reports are saying that Declan Rice sounded out Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw about what life at Manchester United is like when they were away on international duty.
I find that interesting, actually, because, you know, you would think Declan Rice can take his pick, and quite often you wonder, why would someone go to Man United given the, you know, that I know they're having a good season, so this is going to sound a bit sort of counterintuitive, but there is a general idea that they are in the doldrums a bit and they aren't what they were, and maybe they wouldn't be the best destination for a player. But within the football bubble, that sort of thinking doesn't come into it, does it? I think that just the name of the club and the status of a club is a massive, massive thing.
But then you could say, well, what we would, you know, if he thinks, well, if I go there and they attract other players, you know, we can get them going again.
I think he'd be a fantastic addition to them.
I mean, they've sorted out the seat covers.
Yeah.
Trophies will follow.
That's what Rice said. I'm not coming until you sort their seat covers.
Yeah, it's weird.
Apparently West Ham have ruled out any swap deal for Jaylings, though.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a win for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be a win-win for everyone, apart from West Ham, who will get a good player but lose a really, really good player.
Yeah.
And Declan's still got 3 years in his contract, hasn't he? So it's going to cost a bit of money, going to cost a bit of wedge. But Jim's absolutely right. He'd be a great fit for them because they could do with that in that position. And I actually think he's got a lot more to offer than he actually... I mean, we've seen a bit more of it this season. But back last season when he was playing a lot more defensively, it's clear that he can do an awful lot more.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely got a lot more in his locker than just a screening midfield player.
Massively.
If he's a kind of character that can flourish with respect to West Ham, a bigger club, then it could be really incredibly exciting.
Well, Luke, last week on Lions Watch, over on Football Ramble Presents, you and I spoke about Declan Rice.
Yeah.
This week, we're going to be talking about Jaylings for England.
We are. And you're supposed to plug things that make people want to listen to it. Not the opposite.
Well, we're back tomorrow on Football Ramble Presents for the second episode of Lions Watch. We're going to be talking about Jesse Lingard and what his steaming hot form means for England as
Did
well.
Did you
as,
write this?
Oh, yeah. as well as where Jude Bellingham fits into the picture. And we're turning back the clock to 2014. Roy the Boy and his Speedos on the Copacabana. So get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. We're having a lovely time over there.
Our plug for the show that we want people to listen to is we're going to talk a lot about Jesse Lingard and there's a 70-year-old man in Speedos on the beach. Get involved
from the vault.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm talking about the sort of luxuriant quality.
Well,
always.
Yeah, another reference to Roy Hodgson. welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Right, we've got a jingle here from James Stewart entitled A Song for Slugs.
About that. Amazing stuff. Bob Mould-esque.
That is the best jingle I've ever heard on this show and any other show.
Do you think? Brilliant.
It's REM. It's Teenage Fan Club.
REM is better than REM.
It's Husker Du, as Jim said. It's got everything. Yeah. And I'm led to believe, because I looked up James Stewart when I saw he was going to be on the show today. Mm. He's a singer-songwriter. If that's the quality of the stuff he's just tossing off to football shows...
Tossing off?
Yeah. Then his stuff must be amazing. It must be amazing.
And that was a wonderful jingle.
Yeah.
Lovely bit of guitar work right at the end.
Fantastic stuff.
You think to yourself, we're coming to the end of that. Diddly diddly do.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's like getting a little chocolate after your meal, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah. What little chocolate do you like? Little after eight?
No, because I'm not that... I don't particularly like mint.
Oh, you're 90s, not 80s, aren't you? So it'd be...
Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very 90s, that song. If you said, if I flicked on Dave at 11 p.m. after a couple of beers,
there's
a 90s sitcom on, right? Mm. That's the theme tune
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big time. It's brilliant.
Jim said on our Ramble live stream for the Patreon peoples yesterday that you once woke yourself up by saying, I miss the 90s.
Yep. And I didn't remember the dream I was in as well. So suddenly I was just awake saying I miss the 90s. So
I also want to investigate further, because I wasn't on the live stream yesterday. So it's for Patreon listeners only, patreon.com/footballramble. It's very, very cheap and much, much higher value than you could ever imagine. Oh. So do go over and check it out, because you get things like this. The live stream last night, I heard on the grapevine, it was you two and Pete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did Pete do?
Well, Pete...
again, this is all true. This is not any fabrication.
Pete basically left his keys in the pub. So when we got onto Zoom, he was walking back, just It was like an RPG. It was like being in Pete's mind while he went to the pub. He's coming back from the pub. Yep. Tried to break into his house.
Yeah. Found, who charged people for this?
Yeah, found the keys. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not going to say where he left them in case someone robs him, but he found his keys. They were the wrong keys. He had to go back to the pub. He had to pause for a little while before I get into the pub because a fight had broken out. Yeah. Then he got the keys and came back. Yeah. And he played a bit of Soccer Kid with the old share screen function.
What I like about that is Pete has made absolutely no... change in his routine.
No.
The fact this is happening. Yeah. He's not thought, I've got to do that thing at this time, so I'm going to get ready. He's going, I'm just going to incorporate this as part of what I'm going to be doing anyway. Mm-hmm. Is that what his life's like every day?
I've no
probably
idea.
Is.
I've no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got to do an email.
Jim, fire away.
We do. Nathan Vaughan has been in touch. Great name. Solid name. Mm. Following on from Mats Hummels having to make his own way home, it reminded me of Anthony Gelling, who played for Wigan Warriors in Rugby League. Back in 2015, instead of getting on the team bus, he endeared himself to the Warriors faithful by travelling to the away Good Friday derby game with St Helens on a BMX he had bought from Cash Converters just a few days earlier. To make the story even better, after Wigan won, he biked it back to Wigan and stopped off to celebrate at a house party with some complete strangers.
Lovely old job.
That's, I mean, incredible.
He played the game after biking to it. That's phenomenal.
That is phenomenal. Was it Wigan where West Ham, they were away to Wigan? Was it Wigan where they sacked Avram Grant? Or was it Karen Brady told...
On the way?
No, after the game.
Right.
Maybe it was the last game of the season and she told Avram Grant, old Uncle Avi...
You can't get on the bus.
Yeah, we've sacked you. There's no.
And did Mark Noble have to give him a lift?
It was Noble or Scott Parker
who said you can get on the bus.
Parker,
out of order.
I can't remember if it was Noble or Scott Parker, but it was,
same person.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't
matter. And they were like, no, he's got to get. And they, I think
same person, same player.
Yes.
I also would like to chuck in the, I think, best moment that's ever happened in the dressing room / tunnel area of Wigan, which is the old Pascal Chimbonda transfer request in the sock.
Yeah. Ready to go.
Yeah, it's permanent. Marker, so the sock wet doesn't make it run.
Yeah.
In the sock.
Yeah.
Have someone hand it to you.
Give it an hour. Yeah. Give it an hour.
I mean, most players are embarrassed to make a transfer request at all.
Yeah.
Like, in any circumstances.
Get someone else
it's
to
not
do it.
Seen as the done thing, is it?
Yeah.
And then when in your sock.
Yeah. There we are. Do you have the email jingle again?
Yeah.
Why not?
100%.
Lovely.
What a fabulous Friday, everybody. We salute you, James Stewart. Absolutely right. Right, gentlemen, it's FA Cup semi-final weekend. Chelsea versus Man City. It's a big one. Big one. And it's the first clash between Thomas Tuchel and Pep Guardiola in England.
Absolute nerd off.
I know.
Oh, no.
Cannot wait.
You can use the word boffins here. You can.
Tuchel's a dangerous nerd.
He is.
Tuchel's
the
kind of guy, he's a nerd, but he's also quite hard.
Nefarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's capable of great cruelty. Tuchel.
Yeah,
well, I think Guardiola's weirdness trumps everything.
He's the villain in a sort of, you know, thriller.
Yeah.
Tuchel.
I think more of a cartoon, like sort of Ren and Stimpy or something.
I know what you mean. He's definitely got something of the surreal about him, Thomas Tuchel,
sure. Guardiola was talking about Barcelona's thrashing of Athletic Bilbao in the Copa del Rey final in 2012 this week. Just anything to talk about Bielsa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, goodness knows what they spoke about after their game the other week. But referring to his players, Guardiola, he said they were lovely people, but on the pitch, those players were fucking murderous.
Yeah.
I like the idea of him swearing.
Hey, he
like
can be a bit
more
sweary. I remember that time when Mourinho was really, really, you know, sticking the boot in all the... sticking the finger in the eye sockets and all sorts he was doing, wasn't he? Remember when he was really trying to get under their skin when he was Real
Quite
manager.
Literally.
Yes, indeed. And Guardiola at one press conference, he just had enough and he swore quite a lot and he just went...
And
apparently it was sort of the beginning of the end of his time there, I think, if I'm getting my...
Well, 2012 Copa del Rey final was right at the end of his...
Yes, it was.
Last, so yeah.
But I think that particular press conference, it was perhaps around that time, but I think the players all were like, nice one, Pep.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've actually piped up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that.
Peanut. Yeah. Normally you don't say anything. Normally you speak in riddles. Yeah. But that was an amazing game. I remember that game. I'm pleased that that you guys reminded me of it, because obviously Barcelona's team was absolutely ridiculous, but Athletic had a really good team then. They had like Javi Martinez, who went on to great things, obviously Llorente, Ander Herrera was there.
At
the time they had, they still have got Iker Muniain, but at the time he was a wonder kid who everyone's going to talk about as the next whatever, you know. So that was a really interesting time. That was right towards the end of Guardiola's legendary Barcelona team, but they completely changed football, man. Yeah, it's crazy to think of.
I should say, actually, just to quickly, that I just sort of realised that the Copa del Rey final with those teams is coming up, so that's why he was speaking about it.
But still, there was a suggestion at the time, though, that because they won it 3-0, didn't they? There was an idea that they sort of like stepped off the gas at one point, but Pep was like, no, that didn't. If we didn't do that, these players, you know, if they could win 5-0, they would win 5-0. If they could win 8-0, they would win 8-0. They didn't stop. It was just that, you know, they're up against a very good side.
Well, they're up against Chelsea.
And they thrashed them 3-0.
Well, I say they is a totally different side we're talking about now.
But well, it's just like 2012 Barcelona playing Chelsea. I've watched that. Yeah. That'd be great.
I mean, but this, you know, Chelsea defensively look obviously very, very good under Tuchel.
Yes.
We mentioned that before. Manchester City look very good going forward. Chelsea on the break, though, you've got to look out for them. Although Rafael van der Vaart isn't a fan of Timo Werner. He's compared him to a blind horse because he just puts his head down and runs around.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the full quote is amazing because it's actually praise for Mason Mount. He says, Mason Mount is a terrific footballer and I think he can get even better as he gains some power, which is bit of good insight, to be fair, is he does get stronger and older, it'll get even better.
Yeah.
But Werner is truly a blind horse. Really, just out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, did he bet on a horse at the Grand National for Timo Werner or something? Didn't happen for him. Kai Havertz, though, started Chelsea's last two games as a sort of a false nine, and very good against Crystal Palace. I mean, will we see two strikerless sides fighting it out?
We might actually. That's the most nerd thing that can happen, isn't it? So it almost certainly will.
Yeah. Andros Townsend was funny on the radio the other day. He was asked a question about the difference between Chelsea under Lampard and the Chelsea under Tuchel. He said, because, you know, obviously you've played against them twice this season with Crystal Palace. And Andros Townsend went, well, under Lampard we lost 4-0. And under Thomas Tuchel, we lost 4-1. So I guess there was a slight improvement when we're playing against Tuchel's Chelsea. But basically, I don't know why you're asking me this.
Oh, it's interesting. But it's a big one. Bloody big one, that. We're looking forward to it.
It is a game that I will not be able to concentrate on because I'll be thinking about the game the next day.
Which is Leicester versus Southampton.
And I'll tell you what, the thing that's annoyed me more than anything,
what's that,
is that those idiot players doing that stupid house party thing throwing the whole Leicester dressing room in disarray ahead of a massive semi-final.
Yeah.
Idiotic.
Choudhury, Madison and Perez you're referring to there.
And Harvey Barnes, but he's injured anyway.
Mm. Still though, it's
absolutely pathetic, Marcus.
It is pathetic.
They're back in training now though, aren't they? So they might have a point to prove and some bridges to rebuild.
Trust brother Brendy.
I do trust him.
Yeah. It makes him sound like a monk and I can actually see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can absolutely see.
In like a monk's
Brendan
habit.
Rogers turning, walking up the tunnel in a smock.
We're doing this for the Lord. Okay. there's going to be 4,000 local fans.
Spent his time like brewing some mead.
There's going to be 4,000 local fans allowed into Wembley as one of the government's test events.
Mm.
So
that's great. Listen, that's a great sign.
We're hoping it goes well.
It's a green
like
shoot.
Like in Sweden.
That's mad. Yeah.
8 fans.
Yeah.
Leicester looking for the first FA Cup final since 1969.
And that's what worries me.
Yeah.
That's what worries me.
Southampton under Gordon Strachan were there in 2003 when Robert Pires
indeed.
In Cardiff, I think it was. I mean, it's funny because Leicester have been to a few League Cup finals since then.
Yeah.
So the FA Cup final in 69. But Ralph Hasenhüttl stressed this week that he would not like a statue commemorating an FA Cup win.
Have you seen Southampton statues over the years?
If they do go on to lift the trophy.
That'd be why, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I saw the last statue. It was embarrassing.
Who was it again?
Ted more of an insult.
Ted. That statue. Yeah. With the big head.
Huge. It's a thing, isn't it?
It was worse than the Cristiano one.
Sure, statue is such a hard thing to make. Once you start getting it wrong, where do you go?
The statue of Cristiano, I mean, it was a bust, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Ted Bates was 3 foot tall with the hands of a normal man.
Didn't he also have a giant head?
No, it was kind of. It was very strange. Listen. I don't
it
want
wasn't
to
well done.
We shouldn't disrespect the memory of Ted Bates. He's an amazing football man. He did a lot for that club, and you know, and he does deserve respect. But the statue was
that's
abysmal.
That's what we're saying. Yeah. He deserves respect. Why have you done this? You know, you can take the piss out of, say, various sort of former Soviet leaders. So when you get like I can't remember which one it was. It's a big almighty statue and a little pea head.
But so didn't Ralph Hasenhüttl say, "I don't want to have a statue because all the birds would just shit on my head"?
Which is like, he's really missed the point of statues.
Yeah. Why would I want one
not have them in Austria?
Put some spikes on it or something. Yeah. Scare him away. It doesn't matter.
Maybe he just wants a plaque.
Yeah.
All I want is a plaque.
The direct quote is, "I don't want." A good friend of mine said, "You don't want to have a statue because all the birds will just shit on your head." Mm. That is the reason why I'm not focused on a statue.
Maybe the future will have holograms.
Yeah. Change them up. And that way you can remove it if they become problematic in later generations.
Yeah. Do many people get statues when they've lost 9-0 twice?
Yeah, I mean that would sum the club up, Marcus. Let's be honest. Specialists in failure, isn't it? Anyway.
Look, we know it's difficult for teams on the South Coast to win the FA Cup. Of course, one did it recently in the form of Portsmouth. Can Southampton do it? I don't know. But they will not be favourites against Leicester City. Especially when you know you hear Wesley Fofana praising Brendan Rodgers' man management, calling him Papa Poole or Father Hen. It goes into the whole monk kind of vibe, doesn't it?
Father Hen.
Very much so. He's created some harmony in that abbey, isn't he?
Clucking about the abbey.
There we are. Yeah. Southampton, though.
They're self-sufficient, a lot of these abbeys, so it doesn't make sense.
You'd hope so. Southampton, haven't conceded a goal in this year's competition. Look, that is impressive.
No, who have they played? I can't remember. Genuine question, who have they played?
What, Man United did they knock out?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't care, do you?
I don't stop.
You don't want to be tricked into praising them, basically.
the only time I monitor their results is if they're going to lose 9-0.
It wasn't Man United, it was Arsenal, sorry. Arsenal, I just suddenly pictured a team in red.
Yeah.
But Arsenal, Wolves, and Bournemouth have knocked out. That's impressive.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and the Shrews as well. Don't forget them.
I would never forget the Shrews.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there we are, gentlemen. Before I turn our attention to tonight, have you seen that Union Berlin have introduced a crap goal of the month award where they gift a player a toilet seat?
What are they doing?
Yeah, no statues, but toilet seats are plenty. Yeah.
And there's miraculously. They've been able to get. If you look at the tweet of the most recent one, the players are happily posing with it.
Mm.
I guess it's because they're scoring, so they don't care the quality of the goal because players just like to score.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, they're actively and willingly posing with a toilet seat.
Bit wacky, isn't it?
It is a bit wacky.
It's very German football, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very German.
We have a toilet seat. Yeah. something like that.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah. To who?
To the German population.
Really?
Which I hold in high regard and great esteem.
Yeah, I don't. I do. I love them. I love you all.
Do you remember when Glenn Johnson got in a bit of trouble?
For the toilet seat thing. Yeah, it was alleged that he changed the prices of the toilet seat.
Yeah, and him and his mate were just laughing.
That was
as they were
think.
Caught, apparently. I think
Portsmouth,
yeah.
Oh.
Strange.
Well, we love toilet seats, we love Portsmouth, and we love Germany. Okay, just to clear that up. Tonight, gentlemen, Everton versus Tottenham Hotspur. We mentioned it earlier about Dulux. Apparently, they've apologised for their nonsense on Twitter the other day, and they said, "We're investigating what happened."
Yeah.
Won't be a very long investigation, will it?
We know what happened.
Yeah. Everyone already knows.
And drop some truth bombs.
Yeah. Unless it's part of a wider avant-garde theatre piece, like Jim predicts.
That was good. That must be it. I mean,
maybe they've got a new shade of lily white coming out or something.
That would be amazing.
Well, Mourinho was asked if he likes British sheepdogs and said, "What is that?"
Yeah.
I mean,
it really is a race to the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just the whole world.
Yeah, well, we're after that toilet seat, Jim. So,
what does he mean? What is that? Has he not heard of a sheepdog?
Does
he think it's a cross between a sheep and a dog?
I think he's basically saying stop.
It'd be
asking.
Confused though. Wouldn't it? Just chase itself. But then dogs do that anyway. Yeah. So.
I'm surprised he didn't ask referring to either Paul Pogba, Guardiola, or how shit his players are.
Yeah. Well, he also said that he knows the reasons that Spurs keep dropping points, but said, "I am not ready to discuss it with you. Maybe never." And presumably he knows who did the tweets for Dulux, but he's not going to tell anybody.
He did.
It's based on performances recently, it was probably Davinson Sanchez.
Oh, dear. Right, it's time for Four to Score.
It is indeed time for Betway's Four to Score. Entry is absolutely free. That's the beauty of it. Each week, you just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the £50,000 jackpot. You must make sure those selections are submitted before the first game for fairly obvious reasons. And further T's and C's apply. Game number one, our brave boy steps up first as ever. Chelsea v Man City, the aforementioned game, Saturday tea time. Marcus, who have you gone for?
Oh, it's a tricky one. And I don't know who's going to start. You know, Manchester City you know, who might play on the wings? Who will they play with a striker? Blah, 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 blah. Same with Chelsea. But one player I'm very certain will start. He's a goal threat. He's already had praise on the show today. It's Mason Mount. So it's a bit more of a sort of safe pick in that sense about who's going to start.
Yeah. I think he will play. And that's your second favourite Mount, presumably, after Marcus Mount. We'll probably hear a bit more about Marcus Mount slightly later on. Mm-hmm. Great, Mason Mount. I almost said Marcus Mount, though. Game number two, Wolves v Sheffield United, Saturday night, 8:15. Jim, you're up.
I have gone for Willian Jose. Now, he's not been very effective in front of goal for Wolves.
Because he's led to believe
he's a striker. But goals have been a problem for him. But Sheffield United have not been very good anywhere on the pitch. So I'm looking for narrative, and I think this might be the time for him to get off the mark.
Yeah, Raul Jimenez is still Wolves' second top scorer. That's how bad it's been for them. I've never heard of Willian Jose, even though apparently he's played 10 Premier League games. So what does that say about me? Game number three is Arsenal v Fulham. We asked our mate Pete to do this one. It's Sunday lunchtime. Here's what he said.
A lot of injuries on the Arsenal side. Fulham are looking a little bit healthier at this stage of the season. I'm going to go for Mitrovic with the first goal.
Pros, it's 10 seconds. This is what we want.
Yep.
Cons, he literally did that in the shower.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. He's gone for Alexander Mitrovic. Game number four, Man United v Burnley. That's me with the anchor leg. People talk about the pressure on Marcus. If we get all of them in and it's on me at the end, you don't know what pressure is.
Oh, I really want you to feel that pressure.
Man United v Burnley, I've gone for Bruno Fernandes.
Fair.
So, in summary, Mason Mount, Willian Jose, Alexander Mitrovic, Bruno Fernandes. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, head to begambleaware.org. Right, that's four to score with our friends at Betway. Now it's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed, it's time for Luke's game. I give the guys five players, one at a time. They auction for how many of the clubs the player has played for they can name. They get a point for getting it right. The other player gets a point if they get it wrong. And it's the first to three. Marcus is the second seed in the Ramble universe, the Ramble kind of cinematic universe.
Close to being the champ.
Yeah, almost beat Andy last time. Didn't quite happen. Jim is not ranked as high as Marcus, according to the algorithm. So Jim goes first this time.
Fair.
Which is absolutely fair. We're going to bang through this. It's going to be a belter. There's some crackers today. There really are some crackers today. The first one, he's played for six clubs in total. His career went from 1976 to 1997.
Blimey.
We lost him fairly recently. He's a legend of the game. He speaks for himself. It's Diego Armando Maradona. Six clubs in total. How many can you name Jim Campbell? Jim Campbell.
Definitely do five.
Very nice.
Going to do five.
Left a bit of room. Is that your beard, five?
Yeah.
Do you want all six, Marcus?
You knob.
Do you want all six?
Yeah, I'll go all six.
Love that. Love that. Every football fan on earth can probably name two or three. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. But can you name six? One at a time, Marcus. Off you go.
Barcelona.
Oh. Yeah, that's correct. One.
This is annoying because I don't know if you had Sevilla. But that's my second one.
Correct.
Napoli.
That's three.
Boca Juniors.
That's four. Played for him twice.
Argentinos Juniors.
That's correct. Start his career there. You need one more.
Do you have the other one?
He's not.
You
looking.
Can say.
He's not reacting.
He does. He does have the other one.
Poker face.
There's an obvious one here I'm missing. This is very, very frustrating.
Why'd you bid six, man?
Because I thought I could, as I was doing it, I thought I might jog my memory.
Yeah, the synapses might get going, get firing.
Yeah.
First one of the game, though.
I know. I thought, it's Maradona. Surely I can do all six.
Yeah.
This is so annoying. Newell's Old Boys.
Oh, from nowhere, out of the fire.
Yes!
That is incredible. People listening will be like, he's definitely looked that up. He hasn't looked that up. I'm staring right at him.
Well, do you know what? The two I had was...
five league appearances for Newell's Old Boys in 1993.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I had a suspicion it might have been them as the sixth, but I wasn't sure.
Well, I had Newell's Old Boys, and is it Rosario Central, another side?
Yeah, he didn't play for them, so you picked the right
one. Yeah, so they were the two I had in mind.
All right.
I don't know why.
Annoying.
Which one did you not have?
Newell's Old Boys.
Oh, you had Sevilla, did you? Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So that is 1-0 to Marcus. The next player has played for 15 clubs.
Oh, Bloody hell.
And Marcus gets to go first.
This is where you said, oh, I forgot my notebook earlier.
Right. Yeah. By the way, you need to be patient with me, those listening at home and you guys in here, because this is an absolute fucking admin nightmare. He's played across, I think, 24 years of a career, maybe even longer than that. It might even be over 30 years of a career. I can't be able to do the math.
I bet I only know about two of them.
He's played for a lot of amateur clubs, so be careful.
But that's not in the 15, of
Doesn't
course.
Count.
No.
Only pro clubs that he's made appearances for, 15 clubs in total. It's Steve Claridge.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, again, I know about two of them. Yeah, that's madness, isn't it? 15 clubs. But, I mean, when you say Claridge, it's very believable.
Yeah, I've got no reason to believe the algorithm is lying to me. 15 clubs. I mean, I might not be able to count, and I'm sure people will tell me if I can't, but we're going to go with 15. He's probably played for loads more that I don't even know about. Yeah. Give us an opening bid.
Three.
Jim, do you want four?
God, I mean, a lot of this would be guesswork. I mean, even... why not? Yeah, I'll give you four.
Marcus, do you want five?
No.
I mean, he's got a good chance just by the law of averages.
I know he does. Yeah. I know he does. Okay. But that's, as soon as you said 15, I think it's the annoying thing is like, yeah, all two right. I'm certain of.
Four clubs in total. Sorry, 15 clubs in total. You've got to name four of them.
Go on, Jim. Bring it home here.
Leicester City.
He did play for them.
Right,
that's correct.
Right. Birmingham City?
Yeah, he played for them as well, yeah.
Fair play.
Okay. That's two.
At this point, God, there's about 500 different clubs in my head at once and they all seem feasible.
I know. This is why
so weird.
I thought I don't need that today.
Two more.
Sheffield Wednesday?
Right, bear me a sec.
Yeah.
Portsmouth. Yeah,
Portsmouth. Of course he played for Portsmouth. Yeah. And I thought of that earlier. This is where you need the notebook.
So I'm going to list every club listed. Some of them are amateur, some of them professional. You better work out fairly easy which ones are which. Fareham Town's where he started. That's amateur. Bournemouth, Weymouth, amateur. Palace, Aldershot, Cambridge United, Luton Town, Cambridge United again, Birmingham City, Leicester City, Portsmouth, Wolves, Portsmouth again, Millwall, Weymouth, Brighton, Brentford, Wickham, Millwall, Gillingham, Bradford, Walsall, Bournemouth, Worthing, Harrow Borough, Weymouth, Gosport Borough and Salisbury. I saw him score a goal for Gosport Borough, which is one of the best goals I've ever seen, when he was 45 years old.
Yeah. Palace, Wolves and Millwall all went through my head. That's so annoying.
Yeah. He's a legend of the game. Marcus is a legend of this game and he's 2-0 up.
2-0.
See, that's one of the ones, if you had the opening bid, I reckon you'd have gone 2 or 3, which would have left me with the guesswork. But Portsmouth and Leicester I knew, and I was just going to have a go with the third. And as you say, you know, just a stab in the dark, you might have a chance.
The upshot is you're 2-0 up, Marcus, with three to play. Jim, you get to go first. He's played for 7 clubs in total. He retired in 2008. He is Danny Mills.
Millsy.
Danny Mills.
A git of a man.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. A git of a guy.
Mugged quite spectacularly off by Thierry Henry that time.
Yeah.
Which I remember very fondly. 7 clubs, is it?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, you'll be forgiven for not taking any interest whatsoever in Danny Mills' career. So the answers might be low. A git of a man. Would you say he's a git of a man?
He is a git of a man. A git of an egg.
Come on, give me a number. Pick a number between 1 and 7.
All right, I'm going to go... The thing is, he's going to go 3-0 here, the nerd.
The boffin.
The boffin. The brainiac. I'll go 2.
Marcus?
Oh, okay.
I'll be very surprised if between you can't do 3.
I'll go 3 then.
Jim, do you want 4?
I do not.
He's going to get 3. He's going to get 3. So if you go 4, it's at least in your own hands.
I don't know.
What do you think? No?
No. That double, 4 doubles the chance of me losing it anyway. So
okay.
I think I'll roll this grenade over to him.
Okay. Jim's decided not to go out on his shield. Mm-hmm. He's decided to roll over. I'm only joking. So what did you say?
3.
3. Okay, 3 clubs that Danny Mills has played for.
You see, I'm confident with 2. But the third one, I'm kind of... So let's go then. Manchester City.
Yeah.
Leeds United.
Yes.
Confident with both of those. This is where I've got about 4 or 5 clubs in my head.
They're the obvious ones, I think. So the ones you had, Jim? Yeah, he's nodding.
I'm not convinced by that. This is a bit from left field, but Norwich City.
Oh, Norwich City.
Marcus!
Yes! Come on!
Start his career there.
The one I had.
Oh, okay.
What one did you say, Jim?
Middlesbrough was the one I had.
Okay, yeah, so he played for Middlesbrough. Norwich City, Charlton Athletic, Leeds United, Middlesbrough, Man City, Hull City, Charlton Athletic again, and Derby County.
Yeah, I forgot Man City.
There you go.
I think three was the sweet spot with Mills there.
It's an easy win for you,
Mark. It's easy for you to say now, isn't it?
Well,
the whitewash.
Yeah.
No, not quite. There's two more.
A couple more. We'll bang through them very quickly. Marcus, you're first with the fourth player.
Yeah.
Play for 12 clubs in total. Nicholas Anelka.
12?
Yeah.
I suppose it does.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah.
I will tell you no lies. He's played for 12 clubs in total. Jim's counting on his fingers. Jim's got a few in his locker. How many do you think? I know for a fact that winning 5-0 means a lot to Marcus, Jim. So you can block that. You can block that. You're doing great stuff.
I've got 9.
Oh, have you really?
I think so.
Jim.
I'll go 10 then.
Yes! Woo!
All right, do 10.
Wow.
Do 10.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
What did Gordon Ramsay say about that? Wow.
Look at this.
Fuck me.
Come on. Do 10.
Yeah, all right.
One at a time. I've got to get my little button. Hang on. Bloody hell.
Football
work was over. Right, here we go.
So, Paris Saint-Germain.
Correct.
Arsenal.
That's 2.
Real Madrid.
That's 3. So far, you got them in order.
Chelsea.
Yep. That's 4.
Liverpool.
That's 5.
Man City.
6.
West Brom.
Yes.
And he loved it that time, didn't
7.
He?
7.
Bolton.
Yes, 8.
Shanghai Shenhua.
Oh, if he's got that.
9.
Look at this.
One more, Jim.
I've said Arsenal, haven't I?
Yes, you have.
Yes, Jim. So, said that early.
What have I said?
No, fuck off. I'm not telling you that. I can't remember.
Can I tell him, though? Is there a little...
I've said Man City.
Yeah.
You have? You can't... I mean, listen, the game's over, so I'll give you it, but you can't do repetition. That's part of the game.
No, no, I'm genuinely...
He's just thinking
it's
out
difficult.
Loud.
I'm just thinking out loud,
that's
absolutely.
Part of the game. That's part of the quiz. If you say another team and you've already said them, you're going to lose. That's how it works.
Right, okay.
I have suffered on that before.
Oh, God, it's gone out of my head. I counted them on my hand.
It's a big one.
It's 3 more. It's 3 you haven't got, and I know what they are.
Yeah, I think. Did you know what the frustrating thing is that I couldn't remember the Chinese side, and then as you started listening, I thought to myself, I could have done 11 there actually.
Yeah,
one of the 3 that you haven't named, Jim.
Paris Saint-Germain, I completely forgot about.
Oh, where's it gone? It was in my head.
So this is the problem with the non-notepad with the longer ones.
Need to hurry you, mate. Need to hurry you.
Everything I'm thinking of is clearly wrong.
I don't know that much about podcasting, but I know we can't just sit in silence. People will think we're taking the piss, mate. All right,
Just say any club.
There's no point, is there?
All right, you could have had Juventus.
You could have had
Fenerbahce.
Bolton Wanderers.
He said that. He said Bolton. And you could have had Mumbai City.
Right. Oh, I miscounted then.
I thought you said Bolton. I thought you hadn't said Bolton.
He had said Bolton. He'd said.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
See, that's the fact.
Forgot he was Juventus.
Juventus and Fenerbahce I had.
Final player,
I'd forgotten West Brom.
Final player, Jim, gets to go first. 10 clubs in total. One of your favourite players, Jim, in history. Did Jibril Cissé.
Jibril Cissé.
Is it not me?
The Lord of the Manor of Frodsham.
No, it's the fifth player, so Jim gets to go first.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. Jibs.
Jib.
10 clubs.
10 clubs. I'm surprised it's that many.
Seems a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you get a few of these, I'll give you the money myself.
Yeah.
I do think you deserve credit for a valiant effort with...
I'm annoyed at myself for miscounting on my hands, for one thing.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Two. I'm tired.
All right. 3.
You want 4?
Nah.
Okay, Marcus, for the whitewash, can you name 3 clubs that did Jibril Cissé play for?
Liverpool.
He did play for them, yeah.
Sunderland.
Ooh, yes, he did.
Beach Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Did you not have Sunderland?
No, no.
Yeah. Oh.
The Beach Ball was Darren Bent.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, there's an obvious one here I'm forgetting then. Paris Saint-Germain?
A point to Jim.
Ah.
Late consolation.
Auxerre, Liverpool, Marseille. Sunderland, Panathinaikos, Lazio, QPR.
Ah.
Of course, everyone played for QPR. In the same way that everyone looks like Pete, everyone has played for QPR.
And Sunderland.
Algarafa,
Kuban Krasnodar, and Bastia.
Who were the 2 you had there?
I've just... Liverpool and I just knew you'd say three. So my brain had gone completely blank. I'm just annoyed about the Anelka thing.
A lot of fatigue.
Although Marseille was a suspicion, but not a...
Yeah, I got me big French clubs confused.
In my view, and I'm imagining a lot of people's view, if he hadn't had such severe injuries, Gabriel Cissé would be a household name these days.
It's true.
Two bad leg breaks.
He would deserve a lot better than 2 out of 10 clubs that he's played for in the studio. But there we go. That's how it goes. 4-1 to Marcus, a good win.
Bit of European football chat there. If you want more European football chat, of course, a brand new episode of On the Continent is out now. Dotton is joined by Miguel Delaney and Lars Sivertsen to discuss Erling Haaland's future, something we're all interested in, and what sports washing really means in football. Miguel is particularly good on that. So check that out on Football Ramble Presents and subscribe. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. We will be back on Monday, of course. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Cam.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.